Please join us now in extending a warm virtual welcome to another member of the numismatic world. Today, Brian Gino checks in with Boar Sizzle. Let's take a few moments to enjoy a visit with Brian. As he kindly goes under the loop.
And there he is. Hey there, Brian. How are you doing?
Hey, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
I'm glad you're able to carve out a little time for us today. You know, one of the themes of the show is to find out who are the role players in maintaining the hobby today. You know, it doesn't just happen by itself. It takes the effort of people. And we want to humanize the hobby for our listeners and viewers and to let people know who are the people that are supporting the hobby. So appreciate you taking some time out today. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of your background. You know, you're dealing coins in precious metals, and you're a practicing attorney. I think that might be interesting for folks to know that some dealers are full time; they have a shop, the whole thing. And you're a practicing attorney, and this is something that has kind of caught the bug a little bit. Again, and you say your father was a collector, and that's sort of how you developed your initial love of coins, and then. I guess the 2020 was a tumultuous time for us all, and the way that you fought it off with regaining your love for coins, is that right?
That is exactly right.
Okay, very good, very good. So, and you started your business about 3 years ago, is that right?
I did. Going on 4 now.
Okay. And just to let people know, the name of it is Fairfax Coin Collectibles Exchange. Here's Brian's website. You can get there by showing www.fairfaxcoinandcollectibles, and that's and.com. He leaves off exchange. He does not force you to type the word exchange to get to his website. He's thinking of you. It shows that he's able to work with you, folks. I think that's already shows a redeemable quality about Brian. Thank you, Brian. It's
I realize after the fact how long that.
No. Let's sort of build off of that. If you could just sort of expound on your background and give us some words on how that initial love for coins sort of developed.
Sure. Well, my father, before I was even born, was a coin collector, and he was so interested in coins that he got his own father into coins, uncle into coins. Everyone was.
He would go to the grocery store and round up 5 people. Is that essentially what we had?
Collected all kinds of silver. And he did most of that collecting before I was born. And so.
Okay.
To notice that coin collecting had sort of stopped. But my grandfather and my uncles and all them, they were still doing it. I just knew that the coins were somewhere in the house.
Okay.
Years later, after I became a coin dealer, all those coins came to me. And so I was the one, happily, who got to see. We knew that there were these paint cans full of Morgan dollars and full of silver quarters and full of Franklin half. They were just 1 gallon paint cans somewhere in the house. We didn't know where. And so when my dad was moving out of his house, he took apart his workbench, and there in the wall behind the workbench were these paint
cans. Oh, wow. So,
paint cans, and he tried to figure out what to do with them. Didn't take me long.
All right. No, I think that's fantastic. I'm also kind of a Morgan guy. There's just something about the Wild West nature of the coin. You think about how the cowboys were riding the range, and that's how they got paid in a day's wage or a month's wage or whatever it was back then. And they took that dollar to spend it. It's just some kind of an American mystique about that. I want to get some more into the business. Before we do that, why don't we, because I know that everybody is aware that the World's Fair of Money took place at the beginning of August. And I got to go to that when it was in Pittsburgh last year in 23. But you were there just at the one in Chicago. You want to give us some highlights that caught your eye and made an impression on you while you were there?
We weren't an exhibitor, but we took lots of coins and things that we had to sell. And so it's a great place to sell. And everyone who goes to coin shows knows that. Some of the amazing things about it, in addition to finding all of the experts in all the different things, all the different coins that you find, they have exhibits that are pretty much you can't see them anywhere except there. For example, one of the things that I saw, it wasn't the keynote piece, but it was amazing to me. Everyone seems to have gotten into coins because at one point they were looking for a 1943 copper penny. My dad actually found one like that. He actually found one. And he told me the story about it, and I was always looking for one. So they had one there that was graded. And then right next to it, they had its cousin, the 1940 steel penny, together graded. And it was owned by ANAX in their Museum of Money, and it was on display. And so you could see great samples of both of them. And you know that if you owned it, you know, how much money do you want? And so that's the kind of stuff you see. Last year at the World's Fair of Money, they had something that you would probably be totally fascinated by, was the Tyrant Collection. And it was all British coins from around 1615 going all the way forward, and particularly the gold coins. Coins are so realistic that if you saw that guy on that coin walking down the street, even though he lived in 700 AD, you would recognize him because that coin...
It's the detail.
Yeah, it was amazing. So this year they had another portion of the Tyrant Collection at the World's Fair of Money. And this one was, let's see, it was Coins of the Nile. It's called Tyrants of the Nile Tyrant Collection. I bought the book because I was so fascinated with last year, I had to get it. And it's said to be the world's most valuable private coin collection. So I loved it. I'm always fascinated when I see people who are in the coins who actually made an appearance in the Bible. Last year, well, actually, the thing that got me into coins was someone came in with a widow's mite.
Oh, this is the, I have one of those that's the real thing. But no, I'm sorry, let me interrupt you. You go ahead, finish your thought, please.
It's not particularly valuable, but to see one, to hold it, and to know the story and the point.
Brian, you couldn't have said it better, and I'm glad that you did, because you are right. It's not the most expensive coin in the world by any means, but the significance, the one that I have, I think it's NGC, and they say it's an actual, you know, coin that existed at that time. Just to know that, and again, everything that you said, I second it. I think you summed it up for both of us.
Yeah. At the time I got a widow's mite, I also got a denarius, which was a day's wage for either a Roman soldier or for a worker. And that story with the denarius made it into the Bible. It was a parable Jesus told about. And so it totally, those are things that made me say, I got to do this a little more. And in the process of doing it a little more, I became a coin collector, a coin dealer.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the coins that made it into the World's Fair of Money was a coin that was, and featured on the coin is Artaxerxes. Okay, you're thinking, who the heck was that? Well, the prophet Nehemiah has a story. Okay, it's not the biggest coin of the Bible, but that book is really true and old, and this coin has a guy who made it into the thing. That's one of mine.
That's it. I just had a thought. Billy Joel, when he writes his songs, he says he feels that he'll go on to future generations through his music. And essentially, the same thing is happening with coins. These people are being remembered because they're, you know, for that same reason. I want to go ahead and get a little more into your business, but I wanted to make a point about the ANA show. What impressed me in Pittsburgh was, yes, true, seeing all the different coins. Fantastic. But I thought that the classes and the lectures that they offered, I probably learned more in the days that I was there than I had learned, you know, in previous years of my life summed up. It was just amazing to see such knowledgeable people talking. Did you have an opportunity to do any of that?
I did. I took a lecture by a guy who was talking about, among other things, inflation and the cost of money. Over the last 150 years, and he made some very interesting comments about inflation and how you can tell that it's really much higher than the government says by the history of the coins. And so that was one. I took a class on Fujio cents. Now you may say, what the heck? You know, Fujio cents, really? That's the class you picked? Well, every book you get about U.S. coins has a section on Fujio cents, and I wasn't buying them. I didn't know about them, why I should care. So I took the class. And it was good to know. And when I see them now, I'm going to know what I'm buying a little better. And it's not just Fujio Sense. There are other things in other ways that you learn at the show that make you much better as a collector and dealer.
I absolutely agree that like I say, I was, in fact, Brian, my story in Pittsburgh was I was going to go there just for one day. And then I was finding out so much. I said, well, I'll stay another day. And then I found out a lot more the next day. And I said, well, I'll just stay another day. I ended up staying pretty almost the entire time. I think I missed the very first day, but other than that, I was there the entire time. It was just a really, really great experience. I encourage everyone to give that a shot if they have the opportunity. And not only do I encourage them, if they have the opportunity, I encourage them to make the opportunity. So definitely want to do that. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the dealership that you have. When you were first imagining it, and maybe not even as 3 years ago, and even today, the model that you have is that it's really appointment-based. To see you, you request an appointment. Does that do something to... Do you think that enhances the client's experience? Have you thought about maybe also setting up a little window display shop somewhere? I'm just kind of wondering.
Yeah, I don't really have an interest in setting up the environment that kind of looks like a typical coin store or jewelry shop, you know, with cases and windows, you know, glass, and underneath the glass are the coins. I really don't have an interest in that.
Okay.
That it has its ups and downs. When we first started this business, we were a law firm. We are a law firm, but we were accustomed to having appointments, and we give people our undivided attention during that time and whatever resources I need to handle that person's stuff, it right there. And so it was natural for me to start the coin business like that. But what I like about it is that people come in here a little nervous. They're wondering if they're about to, you know, run into a car salesman, and they're going to pressure to get swindled. And so my job, one of my principles, is to treat them fairly with, you know, transparent, so that if I'm making a decision about their coins, they know why, and they can choose to sell or buy. That's fine. But they're going to know why.
Okay. No. I understand completely now. That makes all the sense in the world. Now, also, we just got to talk about your trip to Chicago, but you also did a trip to New York also pretty recently, right?
I did. Just last weekend. We have people that are all over the place that we buy from and sell from.
And that's kind of what I wanted to touch on, is you have relationships with other dealers. And so this you built up a little network over the last 3 years. Is that sort of the way it's gone?
Well, dealers and regular retail customers.
Okay.
When we go this time, when we went up to New York, we were buying, we were selling to somebody who had a sort of a subspecialty, and we had a lot of inventory in that subspecialty. So we're going to do our best to sell to him. And we like doing it because upstate New York is absolutely gorgeous. Okay. Anyway, you don't need many excuses to go, and we don't rush away when we finish. It's a great place. But we find that in our coin business that we can meet great people who have specialty knowledge that we need.
Okay. So you are good for one another then. You're good for one another. The people that you're meeting and developing the relationships with, you're good for one another. It's a great relationship in that way.
Sure hope so. So we're giving them our best, and we hope that you know, we get to come again.
Hey.
We don't have any one-off experiences. We try to make it a ongoing thing for our or other dealers, you know. I mean, most dealers have been at it longer than us.
But it sounds like you've accomplished a whole lot in this time. Now, let me ask you, are there any particular purchases or sales that stick out with you, something that's made sort of either an impact on the business or just an impact on you? I know we talked a little bit about the widow's mite and some of those. Are there others that maybe any purchases that you made that had an impact on the business?
Absolutely. When we first started this, I wasn't sure if we were going to be getting great coins, if we were just going to be doing silver and gold. I didn't know. And so when the key date coins started coming in, I was always amazed. You know, so one of the big ones that we've got, and it turns out that it at the moment is one of the most expensive coins that we've ever bought, was an 1856 Flying Eagle cent.
And we
walked in the door. We looked at it. The person didn't really know what they had, but they knew it was valuable. We looked at it and said, oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. But it's such a big coin that, you know, we got it graded, and we purchased it after it was graded from the lady who had it. And it took us about just 15 seconds to sell it.
Wow.
So I owned it for about 15 minutes.
Well, but you had that pride of ownership.
And other key dates, you know, I mean, just for what happened in Chicago recently, we wound up having lots of key date coins. I mean, way more than normal. And it just so happened right at the time we were going to Chicago, so we could go there with coins that are going to catch anyone's attention. It was wonderful.
Well, let me ask you, does it seem to happen in waves, or is it fairly steady, or I don't know. I'll let you answer.
I wouldn't be surprised if they only come in occasionally, but a lot of times when one comes in, they start coming in.
Things in life happen in threes, so it's so I understand kind of what you're saying there. Oh, that's
better recognizing it. I wish that I didn't miss anything, but you know, I mean, you learn stuff.
And yeah. No. I hear what you're saying.
We came into a bunch of it was really valuable currency. So I'll just give you a for instance. There's in 1935, the $1 bill series A had an experimental issue. The government made some of this experimental issue with a red letter R on it, and then some of the experimental issue with the red letter S. So you have some with R and some with S. The R, I think, was made on regular paper, and the other one was made on special paper. And this experiment didn't last long because it failed, but you have this currency printed with the R and the S. Such an obvious thing. Well, nobody has it. And I had the R and the S in great quality.
Oh, no.
The currency guy, and I said, you have any interest in this? Because it's only in the book. And there, you know, so.
Hey, let me ask you, I just kind of thought of this. Whenever you are in a situation like that, do you also have Brian Geno's personal collection as well as his business collection? Let me start with that question. Do you have Brian Geno's collection?
I do. I'm fairly boring compared to the office.
Where I was going to go with that is whenever you get something, are you able, and you kind of like it, but you know it's good for the business, is there a way that you make that delineation about its most appropriate location?
And you are really hitting on something.
I'm sorry about that.
To get rid of stuff, it's hard as a collector to, you know, to sell stuff.
Yeah.
It just...
It's gut-wrenching, isn't it?
It's fun to keep it, but you know what? I got girls that need shoes.
I understand. So, it's...
Things I said.
No. Okay. I just, again, it's just kind of a thought I was having is that you come across one and you know, which you're kind of torn about what maybe to do with it. But
more key date coins than my father, my uncle, my grandfather, all those people combined. Right now, I have less than any of them because I sell most of them.
Okay. For a young collector, do you have any tips for them that they might keep in mind if they're starting out?
I definitely do. I'll just give you a little bit of background. I was a Boy Scout, and one of the badges they had was coin collecting, and that was one of the first ones I got. And it was natural for me because my dad was a coin collector. But I get young people who come in who have an interest in coins. I take extra time with them. I really do. I give them stuff. They walk away with coins, and they walk away with homework, and they walk away with challenges on how they can free coins and more silver and stuff like that from me for free.
That's just great, Brian. That's great. I mean, I think we've just made you an instant hero. From people who see this, I have a feeling you're in line for some kind of a civic award at this point. I'm not sure, but no. Seriously, I think it's great.
You change your mind when I tell you the next bit.
I've got this wonderful picture in my mind, Brian. So don't destroy it. All right, go ahead.
They check online to get information about coins. It's the worst, absolutely the worst, because they don't know anything, and they think that what they've got, some coin, worth a mint, and they spend 3 seconds looking at it, and then they call us and we're supposed to figure out how much it's worth, why they should keep it versus sell it. Stuff like YouTube. YouTube is terrible. Snap is terrible. Terrible. Here's my advice. Get the Red Book.
Okay.
Look at the coin and look at the Red Book and compare them, and then call us up because we can make money for you out of that. But if you call us up about some stupid coin like this modern 2023 quarter, the women of quarters or whatever, there's a one in there and everyone's talking about it. It looks like it says in COD, you know, COD, in COD, we trust. Well, our national motto is in God we trust. Our national motto is in God we trust.
Yeah.
God we trust. So the coin should say in God we trust. And then when you look at in God we trust, try to distinguish COD from a stylized font. It says God. But everyone calls us up and says, I got a coin that says.
I got one of those blemished ones.
Yeah. And you say, great. Go ahead and spend it. But the Red Book is a big deal. There's an app that if you really have to use your phone, it's called Coin Facts, you know, COINFACTS.
Okay.
I put out my PCGS and it has real information that can really help a person who's trying to collect. And then maybe join a coin club or find a dealer who you trust who isn't going to be bothered by in COD we trust.
Right.
I remember one time I did an interview for Hispanos Unidos because I speak a little Spanish and I use cases from them as an attorney. So they called me up because someone did an interview or someone did a story about an enhanced hair Kennedy that was worth all this money. And so everyone was calling them from all over the country trying to sell their half, their Kennedy half. And so they thought this great idea. Let's get a coin dealer and let him do the interview so that all these phone calls will go to him. Calls from everywhere in the United States, from Puerto Rico, from Wisconsin, from California, asking me if I'll buy their coin. And because it was in Sonidos, most of it was in Spanish. I must have taken 300 dues. These other guys, they've been at it for 20 years and they just spread it out. I got all my dues done in 1 year.
Okay. All right, so let's we're running up a little bit on time, but just following up on this thought of the tips that you had and the idea of what the future might hold. I know that it's kind of hard right now, especially in our Bitcoin age and our whole everything's online, but what do you envision as the future of this hobby given our little AI world that we're living in now?
Okay. So people who get into it, people who apply themselves and learn a little bit, they can make money with it. I mean, if you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, how do I make my car payment every month? You can make that money with coins. Some people, they pay off their house with coins. So if you apply yourself, you learn something, you can do it. Here I am, a dealer for 3 years. You don't have to be a dealer, but you can learn some stuff and bring me what you find in terms of silver, gold, whatever. I'll buy it and you can make some money with it. But the Red Book and other reputable sources will help you. And there's stuff on our website, a resource page on our website. And we're not the only ones. There are plenty of coin dealers who care. And they can lead you in the right direction because they want you to be a good collector because they would like to supply you with coins and buy your coins.
It's it.
Make money.
Symbiotic relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, Brian, I have just enjoyed this immensely. Let's let the folks see your site again. And this is Fairfax Coin and Collectibles.com. That's Fairfax and Fairfax Coin and ndcollectibles.com. And go there, and all of Brian's contact info will be there. And I know he's been saying he'd be happy to help you. He wants you to do your research first, but after you do your research, he's happy to listen to you. And so anyway, Brian. But I wanted to see, I know that we've just touched the surface. We've learned a lot about Brian today, but I know that we've just touched the surface. Can I extend a future invitation for you to join us again sometime? Okay, I appreciate that. And all right, so listen, like I said, thank you very much, Brian, and we'll catch up with you in the future. Take care.